Well, I'm sitting here with Simon right now. Simon Pagino, sitting in the garage. We should say hi to Erin, though. She loves you.
I love her, too. She's awesome. And I want to thank her for everything that she's done for me. She's awesome.
Wow. See you, Erin. Okay, we got that on tape, too. So, Simon, the first thing I wanted to ask you, I was thinking about Detroit Grand Prix, obviously, DetroitGP.com, the website. With the new cars, I've always obsessed with turn one and two. I remember a couple of years ago, Will said he broke his harness during practice. There's so many G-forces. When you're going through there in a new car like this, is this sort of trial and error at these speeds, or do you know what you're doing when you get there?
Well, the first few laps, you don't. you kind of that's the key with an Indy car. That's what's difficult is you're reliant on the aerodynamic. It's like a plane, right?
Right.
So the plane, when it reaches a certain speed, takes off. When we reach it at same speed than the plane, we actually get sucked to the ground. So if you're 5 miles an hour too slow, you don't have the grip. If you're 5 miles an hour too fast, it may turn too much. So it's an adjustment. It's like it's a bit like flying a plane. And those cars are very nimble. So you're constantly adjusting to that grip that you have from the tires, from the aero, and that's something that's very specific to these cars.
With the loss of the mechanical downforces here, how many, and I don't know if it's foot-pounds or what the actual measurement is, how much have you lost this year on a road course?
We haven't lost as much as you think because we've gained on the straightaway. The right. Cars accelerate a lot more than before. We're going to reach, I think we could be close to 200 miles an hour in Detroit. We've gained tremendous amount of speed on the straightaway. So we brake more at the end of a straight. The brakes get worn out more. The tires get worn out more. The car slides around more. There's more mistakes being made by the drivers. It's more exciting to watch. And it's more exciting to drive, too.
Is it more physical for you?
It's just more tension because you're not sure if you're going to make it. So more tension, but it's less physical because we have less Gs. But the car is still very fast, and I think on some tracks we've actually been faster because of the straightaway speed.
Do you find, like, I always, like, in some of the series we always talk about how you're late braking and stuff, like you said, because of the new car this year, something else you don't want to tip your hand and practice as much, you may be able to get more out of the car than you want everyone else to realize.
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes you don't feel, you know, because you have less grip, you don't want to take too much risk in some practices because, as you said it, you might go off and might cost you parts on the car or practice. So you keep some in the pocket and you just use it when you can, like in qualifying, to get a better spot on the grid. But, you know, it's like every athlete, you just know when to bring your A game and when it's time.
So you work with one of the best automotive organizations in the world, racing organizations. Are you guys going to make a case study out of Max and Ricardo, what happened at Baku?
That's a great question. you know, I honestly think a lot of it is a racing incident because it was coming. It was coming the whole race. Verstappen was way too aggressive with his teammate. They hit. He blocked it. He blocked Ricardo so many times that Ricardo was going to lose his temper at some point. And Ricardo had nowhere to go. He went one way. Verstappen went the same. And Ricardo tries again on the other side. Verstappen blocks. And then there's a point where, like, it's a plane, right, like we talked about, because you get so close, you lose all downforce and you can't stop no more. And that's what happened to Ricardo. He got sucked in.
But shouldn't Christian Horner or someone been up? At some point, because like you said, during the course of that race, as I'm watching it, even I as a fan, I'm going, this is not going to end well. You could just feel they were too close to each other the entire race. Shouldn't somebody from Red Bull get on, I mean, I don't know, helmet or someone to go, stop it?
There's two ways to look at it, you know. And actually at Penske, we have the same philosophy as Red Bull. We're allowed to race. And it's phenomenal because the fact that we can race means that I have a chance to win any race I want if I'm better than my teammates. And I can race them as hard as I want as long as we work together off track. And the team allows us to do that as long as we have respect for each other. I love that because if I wasn't able to race my teammates, then it wouldn't be just.
Right.
So I appreciate the fact that they let their driver race. Same with Penske, and I think the fans should love it too because we saw a great battle. It didn't end well, but guess what? Next race we might have another great battle. It might work really well.
It's always interesting in racing too, and any form of racing. When I watch, there are drivers that you look at and go, all right, where's your limit? Where are you going to your success? And I'll get off Red Bull, I promise, but I'm so compelled to watch Max drive because I don't know if he's ever going to break through, or is he just going to be that guy 10 years from now? We go, man, remember that kid? Remember how good he was?
I think he's just as good, but he's riding that limit so much that sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. When it works, he looks like a hero.
Right.
Right? And I'm, for example, I'm the opposite kind of driver. Like, I'm always there. I always score points. I'm less exciting. And, you know, you would talk about Max Verstappen a lot more than you'll talk about me, just because he's a lot more exciting to watch, because he's probably going to crash. And that's just the nature of it.
But you last year, I mean, you were to me, was so compelling to watch because you were so consistent. You're the guy that buys the green properties of Monopoly that I know as I was watching the season going, they're not going to beat him. They're not going to beat him. Was there a point during the year you're like, I got this?
I thought, you know, if it wasn't for losing the fight against Joseph in Gateway, I think we had it. And it's a shame. Joseph got more aggressive and put himself in a position that he was able to win that race against me. I think that was the turning point there for sure. There were other points in the championship where maybe I could have done a little better, but quite frankly, I thought I was putting my chip in the right spot.
Hey,
it's only 13 points, and it was a great championship.
And this year, with so much going on with IndyCar, I mean, as we look at what you've seen it here, ticket sales are up this year in Detroit with the Detroit Grand Prix in Belle Isle. You coming back here every year. Do you notice it as someone who's here once or twice a year? There's a drinking game, Simon. Every time the New York Times writes a story about the emergence of Detroit, you take a shot and you're drunk like in 2 hours. But seriously, how do you look at Detroit from someone who comes here as a driver?
Well, for me, it's been, I've been coming to the Detroit Grand Prix since 2008 in sports cars. So I've seen 10 years of that, and it's incredible to see the improvement. The improvement of the island itself is incredible. The island's beautiful. You know, I walk my dog every night. We go play in the park after practice, and I just love to see the evolution. Obviously, Penske organization put a lot of effort into it, and the island's only getting better, and I love to see that. But what I noticed today is, 2 years ago, if I went on that field to throw the pitch, nobody would have clapped, and today they did. So my sport is growing, and it's becoming more and more relevant to people, and that just shows that it's on the right slope, and I'm so happy to see that.
Well, and then we find out today that F1's proposing a race in Miami for next year. More open hill in North America is all good.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I think, you know, obviously, now Formula One's owned by an American company, Liberty Media, and I think they want to bring the sport here to try to do what IndyCar is doing, which is great. You know, we'll see how it goes. I think, you know, we're on a complete different product, IndyCar and Formula One, so I don't think there's any competition there. It's just a different product.
If you become a fan of racing, you become a fan of racing, and it's going to be wonderful here in Belle Isle. Again, Erin apologizes for not being here today, but she loves you.
I love her too, Erin. I love you, and can't wait to see you soon in Detroit.
All right, we'll see you here. Not too many conies. You're in better shape than I am.
No, be careful with the hot dogs here.
Okay, deal. Thank you, man.